Okay. Now, as we continue our study on the character of God, this is our 19th session. Believe it or not already, it just amazes me how fast it goes. But this attribute of God is interesting. There's parallels, of course, with us. You know, there's a Dutch proverb that says, a little bit, an ounce of patience is worth a ton of brains. This is one, what? Brains. We think of our passions that we have, and I've been guilty of this. You know, this is one thing I struggle with in my own life. I'm just not a very patient individual by nature. I told you before, the wife gave me that little plaque 1 year on our anniversary, Lord grant him patience, but please hurry. And it was put over our dresser for many years, you know, just as a reminder for me. Lord grant me patience. Thank you for that addition. I appreciate that. Lord grant me patience, yes, and grant it quickly. And so that is something we wrestle with, and we'll see tonight it's interesting on God, because when we deal with patience, it's also related to another attribute of his that is very important, which when we lack patience, we fail to evidence in our own life. So we'll get to that. Now, what do we consider some synonyms for the patience of God? Some synonyms for the patience of God. Turn with me to James 5, 7 through 11. And then we'll compare that with James 1, 2 through 4. Okay? James 5, 7 through 11, and James 1, 2 through 4. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, near the end of the New Testament there. And this, James 5, 7 through 11, is how to exercise patience during trials. How to exercise patience during trials. Verses 7 through 11, therefore, be patient, brethren. Now, what I've done in this section, I've underlined patience, and you'll see that this is the theme. Therefore, be patient, brethren, with the coming until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one of the brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end God intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, before we get to the definition of patience, I want to tell you this, is you and I know of Job. And we know all of the trials and that Job went through, and how the patience he had to exercise. That's what I'm doing. Okay.
But you said we all know.
Well, I'm in the process of that. Job is on his ash heap, okay? Job is on the ash heap. He's got the boils. And he's got all of this afflictions. And remember, he did not know the scene in heaven in chapters 1 and 2. When God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's the most upright and righteous man there is on this earth. And so what did Satan say? Well, he serves you just because you put a hedge around him. And so what happened then, the devil went and attacked all of his crops, his house, his animals, everything else. The house collapsed and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters killed in 1 day. In all that, Job did not curse God. He worshiped God. He did not sin. And then what does Satan do? He comes to God in chapter 2 and he says, skin for skin. See? And all the men have. You touch him in his body and his skin and that, and he will curse you. And of course, Job's wife comes along in chapter 2, 9 and 10, and says, why don't you just curse God and die? See? Well, Job didn't do that. But what he did was, you see, is God put a bounding permission there on Satan. He says, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. So what happened? He got all these boils. He ended up on the ash heap, and there he is scratching away. See, just extremely painful. What is interesting when you consider the life of Job is all of the theologians in the past, when they look on that, it isn't the patience that they're so surprised with and that Job is exercising on the ash heap. And it's not that God is doing some punishing of him and all that. What they're surprised in all of this is God's long-suffering through it all. They put the emphasis on God. And they do the same thing when it comes to God's patience with the enemies of God as they're sinning. Because when you and I look at things, don't we like to go to Acts chapter 12, where Satan, where Herod gets up and he comes out in that glittering garment, and they figured it was some type of a metallic type thing that reflected the sun, you know, so he looked like, and the people says, a god. Well, what did God do? He struck him with the worms in a matter of a couple of days. He was dead. And you and I'd like to say, yeah, when somebody goes out against God and blatantly sins, God strike him dead on the spot. And God doesn't do that. Why doesn't he do that? Because God is glorified then in his patience. See? So now, there's four times here in this it says patience. The word here in the Greek, the word here in the Greek is macrothumio. Macrothumio. Macros is long, and thumio is anger. So in other words, when God exercises patience, he is long-tempered. Long-tempered. Other synonyms for God here is long-suffering. How would we define long-suffering? Is the patience of God over an extended period of time all in the same direction? See? And another thing of God is he is slow to anger. Exodus 34, I've said this before in your Bible, you might want to write this, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, theologians call that the definition of God. But it says there, and it says the attributes of God, and that one of them they list is God is slow to anger. We can also say it's divine restraint. Divine restraint. So what does God do? When he exercises patience, he restrains then his judgment on sin and that. So those are some synonyms then for patience. Now it's interesting here. This is macrothumio, is God's patience with respect to difficult people. You and I ever have come in contact with difficult people and we need patience? God's patience with respect to difficult people. That's macrothumio. Now, let's look at James 1, 2 through 4. We'll see another word here for it. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now you'll notice the repetition there of patience also, but this word is different. James 1, 2 through 4, it's hypomone. Hypomone in the Greek. A synonym for that is endurance. Endurance. And it means God's patience with respect to difficult circumstances. So, macrothumio had to do then God's patience with respect to difficult people. Hupomone, God's patience with respect to difficult circumstances. And isn't it true? Just as with God is with us, it comes to difficult people and circumstances both in our life. We need patience for it. Now, let's look at what some theologians would say about God's patience. This is A.W. Pink. A.W. Pink. God's patience is a steady. God's patience is a steady persistence in duty. Steady persistence in duty without being deterred by opposition or fainting under pressure. He also said that God's patience is his control of himself. In bearing with the wicked, and forbearing to punish them. Okay, God's control of himself in bearing with the wicked and forbearing to punish them. It's a steady persistence in duty without being deterred by opposition or fainting under pressure. Actively, it finds its expression in perseverance. Perseverance. And passively, in a meek and quiet spirit. Meek and quiet spirit. Now, this is interesting to me. God's patience is control of himself and bearing with the wicked and forbearing to punish them. Now, why does God do that? Turn with me to Romans 9, 20 to 22. Romans 9, 20 to 22. Romans 9, 20 to 22. Why does God then have patience with the wicked? Romans 9, 20 to 22. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him, why have you made me thus? Does not the potter have power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, now listen, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Okay, what then is the attribute of God then that he exercises then in exercising his patience? His sovereignty, his power, right. His power is sovereignty over things. Right.
Uzzah and the ark.
Right.
Or Herod and the glittering garment.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to.
Right. And the reason he doesn't have to is he has that omnipotent power then to restrain himself. He has the power to restrain him. Now, like I said, you take you and I. When I fail to exercise patience, what's the problem with me when it comes to my passion in that? Is I'm not exercising the virtue because I'm not exercising the God-given power that was within me to then limit my passion, see, in my lack of patience. Now, let's turn to 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 2 Peter 3:9. Notice this now. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, why does God then allow that sinful nature, that flesh in us, to be exercised as long as he does? Why does he do that? Because of his patience again. He glorifies his patience in letting that flesh then be exercised in us. Even though, you know, it is disobedient to him, sins against him in that. God does it to glorify his patience. And the reason he can do that again is he has the power of restraint in his being then to limit that. It's interesting that there are those theologians that would say the reason why this is probably one of the least addressed of all of God's attributes is his patience. You just don't find a lot of things written on his patience. And the reason you don't is there's a lot of theologians that would put it under God's mercy. Instead of talking about God's patience, they say it's his mercy to us. Well, the difference, remember, mercy addresses what? It addresses the sin in us, but specifically the misery of the sin. The misery of the sin. Whereas God, when he exercises his patience, you see, this has to do, the emphasis here is on the creature. Whereas here, when he exercises patience to those who are sinning, and in misery. But when God exercises his patience, where's the emphasis? The emphasis is not on the creature. The emphasis is on God. It's on himself. And that's the difference between the two. See? Yes, there's overlap. God in his patience is exercising mercy, that he doesn't take a sinner and immediately punish him, see, and kill him, send him to hell. But the difference being is, you see, the patience has emphasis on his being, God, restraining himself, controlling himself, as A.W. Pink says, see, in bearing with the wicked and then forbearing in punishing them. See? Oh, yes, in the eternal perspective, yes. It's just a difference in emphasis, you see, between them. They're not the same, in other words. See, yep. Yeah. There's time involved. Some of us need a lot more than others, right? Now, so we've talked about the macrothumio. We talked about the hypomone, and so we're looking at the patience. What's the difference then when we talk patience? What's the difference then between a natural patience in you and I and a divine patience? What's the difference between a natural patience and a divine patience? This patience, of course, being from God, an extension of God's patience is evidence in us as believers. What's the difference? There's a natural patience, and you and I probably know individuals like this. They're ungodly. Okay? They're ungodly. But yet, they're calm. Boy, I'll tell you, some adversity comes in their life, a trial and all that, and they're just calm and collected, and they seem to be so under control and just so magnanimous, you know, in their being and all that, and you and I could even marvel at their restraint and the control they exercise themselves. So what do you and I say to that? Is that of God? No. What this is a moral virtue. This is a moral virtue in their life. It's to be commended, but what's the source of it? The source of it, you see, is they're doing it because of self-esteem. They're doing it because it profits in some way themselves. Okay? Now, what's the difference here in divine patience? The divine patience is of God. And if it's of God in you and I, what's the difference? The motives and the purpose of it is vastly different in us than it is in the ungodly. When you see divine patience, where's the emphasis? It's not on self. The emphasis is when we see somebody under trial and we see that they're exercising this long suffering and patience, endurance, persevering and all that, they're evidencing a meek and quiet spirit and all of that, we recognize it's of God and the motive is to glorify God. Turn with me to Romans 5:3. Romans 5:3. Romans 5:3. Romans 5:3. Let's back up a little bit. Let's start with Romans 5:1 then. Therefore, having been justified by faith, our first result of our justification then is we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the second result of our justification, verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Third result of justification, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then the fourth is not only that, we what? We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. See? That's actively how patience is expressed. Tribulation produces then the perseverance. Perseverance. You see, that's the purpose that's in it all for you and I. Purpose that's in it for you and I. So you think of, let's take an example. Let's take the Apostle Paul, and let's take him in 2 Corinthians 12, and let's look at verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times it might depart from me, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most glad that I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what is he saying? Paul says, I'm going to endure this tribulation, and I'm going to do so patiently. And how am I going to do it? Because the power of God rests upon me then. In other words, giving me a supernatural ability to endure it. See? To hold up under it. Then he says, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See? There's an evidence of purpose. Now, let's look at some verses here. I want us to look just at a few verses just to flesh this out a little more. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We're going to look at Colossians 1:11. Proverbs 15:18 and Colossians 3:12. We'll look at those two in Colossians together. But let's look first then at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And what's the word there again? The word there is macrothumio. Macrothumio. Patience with respect to dealing with difficult people. Be long-tempered. Be long-suffering with them. Why? You and I ask ourselves, why? Why should we do that?
Example,
yeah.
Coals of fire on their head.
Right. Put it in context of ourselves first.
Keeping our passions under control.
Right. Think of a verse like Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another what? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If God has exercised a long temper with us when we were in sin and all of that, then because of the many sins, let's say, over the years that we committed, then should we get upset over one sin that somebody does to us and say, God, drop your hammer on him, judge him? Or should we say, hey, we should be macrothumio toward him, long-tempered, see? So we take it to prayer right away, see, bring him before the throne of grace. The main way to overcome this difficult person you're dealing with is what? Pray for him. You see, it's hard for us to be angry with somebody and judgmental with somebody if we're praying for him. See, and we have the mind of Christ, and then we say to that person, I want to see the mind of Christ in that person. See, I want to see Christ formed in that person. Now, let's look at Colossians 1:11 and 3:12. Let's go to the book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, okay? Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, notice again the connection between what? God's power, patience, and long-suffering. This verse has both macrothumio and hupomone in it. Hupomone. So, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering, then with joy. How are we going to deal with these difficult people? How are we going to deal with the difficult circumstances? Because of what? God's power that's in us. See, God's power with us in us. Now let's look at Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Okay, there it is. Slow to anger, remember, is the patience again. So, what is he saying? The man who then is quick, you see, he evidences a quick rush to judgment. He evidences anger. He blows his top. He gets after that person that's against him, whatever. He seeks revenge. That person stirs up strife. But somebody that's slow to anger, he comes in, and what does he do? He kind of calms everything, see? He allays the contention. He helps to end the quarrel, see? Because he exercises patience. Now, as you know, I'm dealing with cancer, okay? So as the Lord would have it, he keeps putting things in front of my face in my study. And so what I did now is I wrote this on my study, on the door as you come into my study, beneath where I'm X-ing off on my cancer treatments. I've done 4 out of the 12 now. I'm one-third of the way, okay? And I got 3 to do here in December. So we'll get through December hopefully there. But here's what J.C. Ryle said. J.C. Ryle said, be patient in health because illness will require it. Be patient in health because illness will require it. So, it's interesting then for you and I. There's not only an aspect, you see, where, as J.C. Ryle says, we ask God then to bear God's will. We pray to God. We ask God. That's really poor spelling, isn't it? Yeah, the writing is a problem. We ask God, requesting, here's what J.C. Ryle says, we ask God requesting the strength to bear God's will. Bear God's will as well as the strength to do God's will. And isn't it interesting that in our day-to-day life, what do? There's a lot of this where we request, oh Lord, please help me to do your will. How often do we do this? And what does it take for you and I to pray that? You see, that comes along what? That comes along when you're smacked with the illness, doesn't it? The illness. We ask God, requesting his strength to bear God's will as well as strength to do God's will. Because ultimately, where does the illness come from? Ultimately, God is sovereign over all of it, doesn't he? We live in a sin-cursed world. And part of living in this world is there's suffering. Nance and I just opened up the mail here the other day, okay, this week. We got a Thanksgiving letter from a Christian friend of ours. And we've known him for quite a few years now. And what does he do? He starts out, he says, well, the reason we haven't contacted you is because of what's happened in our life. And he lists all the things happening in life. They had parents that died. They had a foster child that stole their car and ran away. And they had shoulder surgery on the wife. They had all these complications came in life. But oh, by the way, the husband has a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So he's got cancer in his liver. And he started last January 14th, and he's dealing with all of that in his life now. And he goes back for a PET scan in January to see if it's still there or if it isn't. So there's this aspect to bear God's will as well as the strength to do God's will. And we need to do that. We need patience in health because illness will require it. So, you know, you say, the Lord takes an impatient Pastor Ron. What does he say? You know, Ron, even at your old age, you know, you need a little more patience. So what's going to bring Pastor Ron patience? See? The Lord says, you know what? You need to be smacked down for a while. You need to deal with this. And the interesting thing, the other thing of dealing with that is Nance had it on the internet the other day. She came across a quote from Spurgeon. And that's going to end up on my wall too. It's interesting. When God does great things, a lot of times what does he do? He'll take a pastor, whomever, and he says, like Moses, whom God will use greatly, he smacks greatly, or he strikes him down greatly. And you know, God is doing great things here at Great Grace Baptist, and that's coming in the next year and that too. And you wonder, you know, in God's sovereignty, yeah, God's going to work great good out of it. See? So, hey, Ron, be patient. Be patient. Yeah, the greatest blessings come. So be patient. The blessings are on their way. See? So it is. Be patient. Shakespeare on Othello said this, how poor are they that have not patience? What wound did ever heal but by degrees? What wound did ever heal but by degrees? See? And in that healing, yeah, requires patience in it. So I pray that for us, that you and I look at the God of patience. His long-suffering, macrothumio, his hupopone, dealing with difficult people, dealing with difficult circumstances, and knowing that Christ in us, that you and I then should exercise God's patience in dealing with difficult circumstances and people, and know that God works, what does it say in Romans 8:28? He works all things together for good to those who love God that are called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all of your patience to us as sinners. We think, dear Heavenly Father, that as it says in Romans 5, when we were yet the ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were your enemies, and we think of all of those sins we committed. We were born with a sin nature. All of those sins we committed in our youth until, dear Heavenly Father, by your grace and the work of your Spirit, you called us to yourself, that we were humbled, we were convicted of our sin, and that we realized the helplessness to save ourselves. We cried out to you, and you heard us, dear Heavenly Father, in your mercy and your grace. You came to us and you saved us. You gave us a new will, a new heart, a new spirit, a new life in us, the Christ in us. And dear Heavenly Father, may that we remember your long-suffering to us. You're slow to anger with us. We think of Genesis 15, 16. We think of those 400 years before God judged the Amorites. And we think of Noah's time in Genesis 6, 3. We think of the 120 years that you were patient with the wicked. But yet we know, dear Heavenly Father, your patience has an end, that there is a judgment coming. And we think, dear Heavenly Father, that but by your grace and mercy, there go I, that you exercised your patience toward us and then your will toward us, your love toward us, in calling us to yourself. And we just thank and praise you for that. So in light of that, dear Heavenly Father, may we not be as that unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, 26 and 29, when the servant said to him, that steward, I mean the unforgiving steward, when the servant came to him, be patient and I'll pay you all. And they did not exercise that patience, forbearance, and long-suffering there with them, but required payment right away. May that we not be guilty of that, dear Heavenly Father. Because of all your patience to us, may we, through the Spirit in us, exercise your patience then to others, dear Heavenly Father. And through that, may we quell what contention there is, quiet all the contention, animosity between people and others. And may through that, dear Heavenly Father, may we draw people to yourselves, point them to Jesus, may there be saving faith. Use us, dear Heavenly Father, as patient people to your sovereign ends to bring others into your kingdom. We pray also, dear Heavenly Father, you bless our time around the food tonight in fellowship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.